Okay. So we've already heard the Bible passage this morning from Colossians 15 to 29. Just wait for the crying to settle down a bit. It's all right. I wonder if you, as you're sort of watching TV, as most of us do, and you sort of watch the television, the news, and you read the newspapers, you sometimes feel like as if, you know, God is sort of losing. You know, like Christianity is on the back foot a bit. You know, like we have this visualization. We know that God is in control, you know, in our theology, in our thinking. But when we see it in the real world, you know, sometimes it's almost like you're watching TV and you go, where is Jesus in our world, in our culture? Where is Jesus on our television network? You know, most of the time it's some weird guy preaching at 5 a.m. in the morning wanting money off people. But, you know, where can Jesus really make a difference? And like I said, I'm not meaning that theologically, but as you just live and act out and watch TV and watch movies and everything is not Jesus. You know what I mean? It just seems to be Jesus is missing. Do you think that the gospel is on the back foot in our culture? Because in Australia at the moment, it seems like there's various movements that are on the attack against Christian thinking, Christian views, making it seem that the church, Christianity, is powerless to make any effect. Where does Jesus fit into all this, into our culture, our world? Where does he fit into our everyday life as we live in this culture, this world? You know, I want you to sort of think about this and sort of finish this sentence. Jesus is... You know, Jesus is... Who is Jesus? For some, Jesus is just a nice guy. Just historical guy, religious teacher. For some, the founder of Christianity, a prophet, a teacher, just an ordinary guy. Others, they believe he's a myth or a legend. Paul tells us in Colossians 1, 15 to 20, who Jesus really is. Let us read it. Let's read. This is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. If these words are true, then Jesus is extraordinary. If we don't believe these words are true, then I want you to challenge you to think today that they are true. What if they are true, if you don't think they're true? What if Jesus really is this person that the Bible describes? If this statement is true, nothing can compare to who Jesus is and what he has done and is doing in our world. It answers the question, who is Jesus? And it tells us why knowing Jesus and following Jesus matters. So I want to firstly look at three things about Jesus. Jesus is the image of God. Secondly, Jesus is the firstborn in status. And Jesus is the creator of all things and a sustainer of all things. So Jesus is the image of God. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the exact image of God who cannot be seen by human eyes. You know, Jesus is exactly like God in every way. When we see Jesus, we see God. When we read about Jesus, we're experiencing God. Therefore, Jesus is to be worshipped as God. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of cults based a lot of their misunderstandings of Jesus from this passage. But Jesus is no less than God himself. And Jesus said, whoever has seen me, in John 14:9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So knowing Jesus is knowing God. And I wouldn't say that whoever sees Samuel has seen me, would I? I wouldn't sort of say that. I mean, they may see a little of me and the characteristics of me. And I'm certainly assisted in making Samuel. But they can't say that Samuel is exactly like me. But Jesus claims to be exactly like God, the image of God. That's what Paul is claiming here, and Jesus claims it about himself. Jesus is equal to God, and in fact, that charge that Jesus spoke about himself brought about his death on the cross. And Paul tells us who Jesus is in God's word. He is the exact picture of God in human flesh. God has dwelt within his creation, even though he is above it. And to know Jesus is to know God. The invisible has appeared. And yet within God there is a complexity. Within God there is a complexity, what we call the Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 1:26, there's a hint of this, the relational aspect. God said, let us make man in our image. Therefore, revealing within God there is a relational complexity. And this relational complexity overflows into us, his creation. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Because he is not alone. He is a relational God. Relational within himself. And through his creation. So Jesus is the firstborn of creation. And like I said, this is something that's often misunderstood by many various religious groups and applied incorrectly by some to think that at some point Jesus didn't exist and then he did. I used to think that. I used to think Jesus didn't exist at one point and then he did. That's how I was taught. But through Jesus, this passage says all things are created. In heaven and earth, things seen, unseen. If Jesus was created by God, then he literally didn't create all things. He only created most things, but the passage says Jesus created all things. Jesus isn't the first created thing by God. Jesus is God. And within this complex relational aspect of God, Jesus is head over all creation. See, in Scripture, when we hear the word firstborn, it's not necessarily the first created born person. But the firstborn is a rank given within a kingdom. David was given this rank in Psalm 89:27. God called him his firstborn. Exodus 4:22, God's people Israel were called his firstborn. They weren't the first created people on earth, but they're given a title. And Jeremiah 31:9 gives a similar idea, presenting them as firstborn, as Israel's firstborn. Firstborn refers to position of privilege. Jesus holds the greatest position of authority. Jesus is over all creation and has first place over everything. Why is this? Because Jesus actually created everything. Therefore, all things derive their meaning and purpose and existence in him. Our world is not a freak accident of the cosmos. Jesus created all things. This is what this passage says. Jesus created all things. Jesus is our creator God. He is the creator. He isn't simply a good teacher about the things of God. That's what we think. Culture thinks that. Jesus is just a good teacher about the things of God. No, Jesus is the creator God of all things. He's superior to Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and even Paul who writes this. Jesus isn't part of the created things. He's over and beyond them. Whether things on earth or in heaven, visible, invisible, they all sit under Jesus as Lord and King. Things seen naturally, things seen spiritually, unseen things, powers, thrones, dominions. All things come under Jesus. Nothing compares to Jesus. Nothing compares to Jesus. He is before all things and has been eternally existing forever. And if Jesus created all these things, then he has power over them. They cannot stop his plans of work. So as we watch TV, we see things. But these things cannot thwart God's plan. They cannot overthrow Jesus. Jesus is above all these things. An earthly movement are powerless compared to Jesus. any spiritual realm is powerless, not even equal to Jesus. Sometimes we think that Satan and Jesus are sort of like equals and they're fighting each other. You know, there's a spiritual war. No, Jesus is greater. Their power doesn't compare to Jesus. Nothing can rise above him. And in fact, all things depend on him. Their existence depends on him. They remain in his power. He holds everything together in place and permits all things to happen. Because all things have their origin and existence and purpose in Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. But not only is Jesus the creator of all things in heaven and earth, Jesus is the redeemer and restorer of all things. If Jesus is the overall redeemer of all things, if Jesus is all-powerful, then his gospel message of hope is the most powerful force on earth, is the most important force on earth. Because Jesus the King is the most powerful ruler. And sometimes we look at our church and we've got 30-odd people here gathering and it looks powerless, doesn't it? But Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. That's what matters. That's what matters. Who are we? Who are we when it comes to Jesus? Well, we, according to this passage, we were once alienated and hostile in mind to Jesus, doing evil deeds. So whether we're living now away from Jesus or have lived a life before we knew Jesus, we were people alienated, hostile in attitude, thinking towards Jesus, living outside the will of Jesus by doing evil against Jesus. Yet through the cross, Jesus has rescued us back to himself by dying in our place. Jesus gives light to our darkness, to our dark world. That's why the gospel message is the message for the entire world, because the entire world live in darkness and need Jesus. And Jesus transforms all that. We are transformed people that come from out of that darkness and transferred out people who are outside God's will into his kingdom, being transformed into a community called the church, which Jesus, as this passage said, is the head over, and we strive to grow and live under his headship, under his will. So in order to be thankful to God and give thanks in our prayers to God, is what Paul is doing here, we need to see who Jesus really is and what he has done for us. We need to see and know who Jesus really is. Knowing Jesus doesn't simply affect our Sunday mornings, it affects and transforms our entire life. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God and should be worshipped as our Creator God. Jesus is the giver of life, the one who holds all things together, whether on heaven and on earth. And Jesus is the restorer of our world, the only one that has power to redeem us who are hostile against God. Jesus is not simply a religious teacher, because his word spoke everything into existence. Jesus is not another historical dead prophet. He is the firstborn over death, rising from the grave. And Jesus is not one among many prophets. All the Old Testament prophets proclaimed and worshipped him. Jesus is not dead and powerless and uninvolved in our world. All things find their existence in him and for him. Nothing compares to who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross. There is nothing greater than Jesus. Jesus is the one who is behind all things. But this is the thing. See, we say this. We say Jesus is above all things. We say Jesus is King. But do we live it? Do we live it? Do we really live it? If Jesus is above all things, why do we worship things below him? Why do we worship things below him? If Jesus is the creator, why do we worship created things over him? If Jesus is the image of God, why do we worship lesser images than him? Because we do. Following Jesus is not simply following religion or faith among many. Nothing compares to Jesus. Jesus is not equal to other religions. He is above all things. Our existence goes beyond who we are. It goes beyond our race, our education, our consumption and enjoyment. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Our existence finds meaning and purpose in Jesus. Without him, we are lost. Therefore, knowing Jesus matters. Having Jesus in our life matters. Finding our lives in him matters. But see, do we have this? Where is Jesus placed in your life today? Where is Jesus placed in your life? See, we could say Jesus is there. But like I said, do we live it? Could it be that as you think about your life, you struggle to find real meaning and purpose because you haven't acknowledged Jesus for who he really is? See, Paul is setting the stage here for the rest of the book. He wants people to know who Jesus is. Because when you know who Jesus is, nothing else can take captive who Jesus is. Everything sits below him. But what we try to do is put things above him. The one who keeps all things together, we try and put other things that he's made above him. God's will is for us to know Jesus. You know, I'm trying to articulate this, and I'm thinking about the fact of how we think, you know, Jesus is there. Jesus is in charge. And I thought about Malcolm, you know, Turnbull, our Prime Minister. You know, and as we look at that, we know he's in charge of the country, but does he have any effect on our daily life? No. Very little. We don't want him there. We don't want him telling us what to do. We don't want to live in the image of him, and that's fair enough. But he has no effect on us. And sometimes we see Jesus that way. Jesus is in charge, but I'm over here. Yes, he's the king, but I'm over here. Okay? He doesn't rule my life. He's there. He's king, but he doesn't rule. He doesn't rule. We know he's there in charge, but we won't submit to him. And he's not really involved in our daily lives. Because Australians, we want that sort of freedom. We don't like bosses. We don't like leaders. We mock leaders. We don't like it. But we can't treat Jesus that way. Jesus is not some distant, uninvolved person. All of our life finds meaning and purpose in him because he is the one who created us and we're created for him. Nothing can compare to knowing Jesus. You know, God's chief goal is to unite all things into Jesus. It wouldn't make any sense to place things created or ordained to exist by Jesus above him. Would it? Wouldn't make any sense. Something that Jesus has made, to put it above him and then try and find our satisfaction in that thing? It wouldn't make no sense to shift away from knowing God to chase other things that we believe would be better than Jesus. If he is above all things and nothing can compare to him. Sometimes we want Jesus plus more when Jesus is everything we need. I think we need to see a bigger Jesus. Sometimes we often see a little Jesus. A Jesus is not involved in our daily life. A Jesus is not there in our daily life. If you follow Jesus, could it be that you want more? That you've tacked on to your life, Jesus has some sort of religious experience, but he's not really king over all, Lord over all. And you actually live for lesser things. Trying to pursue lesser things than who Jesus is. Because what we love is what we worship. And it's what we invest our time in. What we worship actually controls us. Because we place our lives under its rule. So if it's relationships, if that's what we desire, if that's what rules us, if relationships become greater than Jesus, then we place ourselves under relationships, not Jesus. And if we don't get the relationships we want or the friends we want, then we find ourselves lost because Jesus is greater than those things. If it's success, money, career we worship above Jesus, it controls us. We submit ourselves to it. We strive and worship these things, hoping that they will give us some sort of redemption, and they don't. We strive and worship things that are placed under Jesus. And yet they rise up. We spend more time and energy pursuing them. We let them conform us to its image. We don't get conformed to Jesus' image. We see this every day. We watch television. We get influenced by an image that we want to live up to. Not Jesus. An image that we want to live up to. And we pursue it, not knowing that Jesus is greater than that. So we live our life for a lesser image than Jesus. We live our life for a lesser image than Jesus. Maybe it's the God of pleasure. You know, this is what we sort of live for today. Pleasure, relaxation, sex, food, drink, entertainment. Once again, we pursue these things, don't we? I've got to have them. If I don't have them, I won't feel fulfilled in my life. Yet these are things that fall under Jesus. Jesus is greater than these things. So we forsake Jesus for something less than him. A lesser object of worship. And we wonder why we keep on chasing these things when Jesus is above them all. No wonder we feel empty, often chasing things that are less than Jesus. It doesn't make any sense, but we do it. We invest so much into these things. Seeing who Jesus is really matters. And this is what Paul is trying to set here. Seeing Jesus for who he is matters. Knowing God, knowing Jesus should deeply affect our lives. To know that we belong to Jesus is the best news in the universe, yet often we downplay it. Often the latest film is the best news, or who won the footy is the best news. But we belong to the Creator God of the universe, who once we were hostile, but now we've been brought into his family. And we've been created to be under Jesus as his children, as his creatures, to be conformed into his image. Not the image of social celebrities, not the image of culture, not the image of some religious tradition, but Jesus. And even as followers of Jesus, we can certainly fall for lesser images. As we follow Jesus, we're being transformed day by day into his image, being transformed or transferred from we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and so Jesus is transforming us daily. But don't think that Jesus isn't worthy to be your king, because outside his work on the cross, you are actually unworthy to be his friend. And that's the truth. We are so unworthy to be his friend, yet Jesus has chosen to die for us on the cross so we can have a relationship with him. That we can be set free from our sin and shame, and that we can be in his family. That we can find him in the proper place in our life. Jesus is not just your Dr. Phil, he's your king. He's your king over everything. Who is Jesus in your life today? Really, does anything compare to him if you think about it? Does anything find greater meaning and purpose in your life than Jesus? Why would you live your life allowing something that Jesus has created, something that falls under Jesus, to become first place in your life? Let's pray. Father, thank you that that you reveal so much about your Son Jesus, and that we see our life and our being and our meaning in him. And Father, thank you that you give us your Spirit, and your Spirit teaches us that we do pursue things that are less than you. We do fill our lives with things less than you. We do invest our lives in things less than you. And they're the thoughts that go through our mind. We don't think, how can I honour you? How can I grow in you? How can I be more like you? We think, what's in it for me? What can I do for me? And we chase these lesser things. Lord, help us stir our hearts to know you more. Stir our hearts to put you in your rightful position of who you are in our lives. Not just on a Sunday morning, but every day, Father. Thank you for the amazing grace and patience that you have with us. As you do this, as you patiently work in our lives, we thank you. We thank you through Jesus, your Son, who has brought us back to you. Amen.